Good evening, and welcome to Art World Innovators, exploring stories of innovation in the art world. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and you're listening to UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. With us this evening is Randy Joint, Executive Director of the Manitoba Arts Council Incorporated, established in 1965 to promote the study, enjoyment, production, and performance of works in the arts. The Council Awards recognize professional arts organizations and individuals in all art forms. Randy brings years of experience working in the arts and culture sector to his role as the Executive Director for the Manitoba Arts Council. He began his career as a contemporary dancer, then transitioned into administrative roles in the arts, developing a passion for organizational structures and cultural policy, leading to such roles as Executive Director for Art Space in Winnipeg, Manager of External Affairs for the Royal McPherson Theatre Society in Victoria, BC, and more. He has been recognized for his contributions to the arts, and in 2010 he was awarded the Victor Martin Lynch Staunton Award from the Canadian Council for the Arts. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. The Manitoba Arts Council offers invaluable opportunities for people in a broad range of arts and for enriching our province's arts organizations, education, and cultural heritage. Can you explain the role the council plays and share some examples of projects and events?
Sure, I can. Well, maybe I'll give you just a little briefing of the framework that the Manitoba Arts Council works within first. So we're an arm's length agency of the provincial government. And as you said in your introduction, we were constituted in 1965, and that puts us at about 55 years old. And there's been some great evolution within the council over those 55 years. So today's Manitoba Arts Council has a board that's appointed by government, and that's a council of 9 folks, and they're really responsible for setting the strategic direction of the council. And then we employ about 13 staff members that really deliver the programming of the council. And so our role is primarily as an arts funder. So we take the money, that part of the money that government invests in arts and culture in Manitoba, and we distribute it. And we do that primarily using the peer assessment process, which means that we bring together a group of experts in a particular discipline or in various disciplines to assess the applications that come before us. And those applications will be from individual artists, but they'll also be from arts organizations. So we fund a whole range of arts activity and in the province of Manitoba, and that really ranges from scholarships for post-secondary students up to operating support for some of our arts institutions like the Royal Winnipeg Ballet or the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra. And then we have programs that support creation for individual artists and primarily smaller organizations. So this is really the opportunity for folks to get out there and really engage in the creative process without necessarily need to put on a production or a public event. We'll also support presentation activities. So if you do have an artistic project that you want to present to the public, you can apply to MAC for a grant for that. And we have a really great program, which is our Artist in Schools program, which supports taking artists to schools and engaging students and introducing students to art forms and arts projects and fantastic ways of thinking. And we also recognize people through prizes. So there's really an incredible range that gets supported through the Manitoba Arts Council each year.
And you also bring an extensive background and valuable experience to your current position as executive director. What drew you to the administrative aspect of the arts field? And can you share some of your experiences with our audience leading up to your position?
Sure. So my background's in dance and contemporary dance. And that took, as with many artists, that wasn't exactly a direct path. But I started with Ukrainian dancing in the small town in Saskatchewan where I grew up. And that moved on to training with the Royal Winnipeg Ballet and then the School of Contemporary Dancers in Winnipeg, and then to a long 20-year career as a professional contemporary dancer. And somewhere in there, with my partner, Karen Kuzak, we formed our own contemporary dance company. And that's when I started to really engage in the administrative side of the arts, because you form an organization and you have to care about all of the infrastructure pieces that come with it. There was nobody else to do it, so you learn as you go, and that's what's happened with me. And I found myself really fascinated by the policy piece of what supports the arts within Canada and within Manitoba. And that led me through to a job as the executive director of ArtSpace in Winnipeg. And then I spent a couple of years out in BC, most recently working for theaters, and then back for this opportunity with the Manitoba Arts Council. And for me, I find the piece behind the scenes equally as engaging as my work on the stage. And I recognize that what happens to support a healthy arts ecosystem is incredibly important to really ensure that our creative communities are thriving.
And with a keen interest that you have in organizational structures and cultural policy, what's your main role and vision for the Manitoba Arts Council moving forward?
That's a super interesting question. So as I said earlier, we have a council that's responsible for the broad vision. And so it's a very collaborative process here. And I'm just going to tell you what our official Manitoba Arts Council vision is. And that's artists, organizations, and communities working together to create a vibrant, innovative, and inclusive Manitoba. It's a pretty great vision in my mind. Personally, I have some particular areas of interest, and they're shared. They're not unique to me. But I really want to highlight and ensure that we're a council without barriers. And there's folks facing many barriers in Manitoba, and we need to be accessible to everybody and in every region of Manitoba. So that's a key point for me. We're also super interested, and I'm super interested, in making sure the First Peoples in Manitoba are really celebrated and recognized and have a place at the Manitoba Arts Council. And I also want to ensure that the Manitoba Arts Council and the activity we fund really represents the breadth of the cultural diversity in today's Manitoba. So those are some areas that are really important to me. And I think we get there through collaboration. I think that we're in a period of time where working together is the way we move anything forward. And so anything I can do to encourage artists and arts organizations to collaborate to the fullest possible extent is something I'm interested in.
Do you have any particular programs coming up or in place that you want to share with the audience that addresses those particular areas?
Just before the holidays, we had a pretty substantial announcement that happened, and that's that programs that have been administered by the arts branch of the Department of Sport, Culture, and Heritage are coming over to us. So that's another agency that's housed directly within a government department that have primarily been focused on the community arts. They are now going to be managed and run by the Manitoba Arts Council. And though this isn't exclusive, the bulk of the programs coming over have focused on artists and organizations outside of the city of Winnipeg. And so now that we have these programs under our umbrella, this is really an opportunity to see better the entire artistic landscape of Manitoba with one look and understand what's really going on. So this is an incredibly exciting opportunity, and I think it speaks to the issue of collaboration very strongly, because we're going to be able to really take a look and see where there is opportunity to encourage organizations and artists to collaborate across the province.
One of the programs that I noticed you offer is the invaluable residency to artists that's made possible through the partnership you have with Riding Mountain National Park. Can you tell us a little more about the highlights of this program and some of the artists involved?
This program has been going on for 10 years plus, I believe, and what one is able to apply for is time, really. And you receive the time in the Deep Bay Cabin in Riding Mountain National Park. It's a beautiful cabin on Clear Lake. And throughout the course of your residency, you're afforded space and time in a beautiful location to focus on your artistic work. And residencies are incredibly important, and for artists, they are time away from the routine and the pressures of the regular world to focus. And while you're there, you are able to connect with the community a little bit and share your work through the park. And so there have been a whole host of artists over the years that have been through this, from world-renowned visual artists to local dancers, and it really runs the whole spectrum of the artistic community.
How would you advise those in the arts to apply for grants and funding opportunities?
Well, the simplest way is to look at our website, the Manitoba Arts Council website. Everything we're doing is online, and that's a pretty recent development. But there's fantastic information on our website about the programs that are available and the way to go about applying for them. You start by setting up a profile, and then you work your way through an application. We have deadlines, so one has to be familiar with where they fit and what the deadline of the program is. And I think that's probably the best way to go about it.
What have you found most rewarding about your career, and what would you advise someone with similar interests?
I feel incredibly fortunate to have spent my life around creative people. I think there's never a dull moment, and living in a creative community is incredibly important. So it aligns with my values. That's particularly important to me. My transition through artist to arts administrator, I think, was really benefited from doing volunteer work, particularly on boards. And so if somebody was interested in exploring the administrative side of things, I think volunteering for a board of directors is a fantastic way to do it. You meet people, you understand the framework of how organizations operate, and they're incredibly valuable development opportunities.
Would you recommend public arts management and policy, maybe graduate work at some of the universities that we have?
Not the path I went, but I can't speak to any particular program, but I think it is very valuable. I know some of the programs, and many of the programs have fantastic instructors. Certainly, graduate degrees never hurt when you're sort of looking to evolve into this kind of work. And I think the thinking that goes along with post-secondary education in the public management realm and arts management realm is incredibly important.
Are there any other programs or events that you're working on that you'd like to share in the future, since you've just come into the new collaboration?
It's going to be a super interesting time over the next couple of years here at the Manitoba Arts Council because, as I said, we're going through this growth process. So we are afforded the opportunity to really have a look at the entire ecosystem. So rather than point out one program, we're really going to be taking a macro look at arts funding and arts activity in the province of Manitoba. And within that, there's 25 programs. That's something that I'm very excited about. Each of our programs are incredibly valuable, and I think what's most important is the work we're doing is on behalf of the citizens of Manitoba and their access to really fantastic art. And if we can continue to do that work, then the citizens of Manitoba are going to really see the full breadth of the creative gifts in front of them.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your insight and advice with us tonight. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we wish you continued success.
Thanks so much.
I was Randy Joint, Executive Director of the Manitoba Arts Council. For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Art World Innovators on UMFM 101.5. Our guest this evening is Catherine Bruce, a contemporary Winnipeg artist who works with mixed media, capturing cityscapes and landscapes in vibrant abstract compositions. Catherine was born in New York into an artistic family. Her father, Robert Bruce, was a successful artist and professor at the University of Manitoba. At a young age, Catherine and her family moved to Winnipeg, where she later completed her fine arts degree at the University of Manitoba, then studied painting and sculpture at the Boston Museum School of Fine Arts. She worked as a potter for many years, traveled widely, lived in New York, Mexico, and has taught and shown her work extensively in many solo and group exhibitions in places such as New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. In Manitoba, Catherine's work may be found in many public spaces, such as the Winnipeg City Hall, Winnipeg Hydro Building, and many other government buildings around the province. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Susan, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate the opportunity to just share ideas.
Thank you. You've had a very successful career experimenting with a wide array of media, innovatively capturing cityscapes and landscapes in dynamic rhythmic compositions. Can you introduce us to a few of your works and what elements have inspired their spontaneous improvisations?
I think when I first moved back to Winnipeg, which was in the late 90s, I moved into a small studio in the ArtSpace building down in the Exchange. And at that point, I'd been living in the States for 20 years. I was back now in Winnipeg. I had this little studio. I kind of didn't know what to do. And I'm sitting there in that studio. And then one day, I just started feeling the energy of New York. I had taken lots of photos of New York, and I had walked the streets a lot. I just started drawing, and I was drawing New York in a very kind of abstract black and white, just using charcoal. And I had never, in all the years I lived down there, I had never even considered drawing that city. But here I am now in Winnipeg in this little studio, and that's all that could come out of me. And I'm just like doing drawing after drawing. And that really, that was kind of the beginning of me doing cityscapes. I did a mentorship through MAWA with Eleanor Bond, who is a great teacher. She encouraged me to go bigger. And through that year of working with her and the MAWA program, I started doing large abstract work. I hadn't before really used acrylic paint that much, but I started using acrylics, and that kind of let me play a bit more than if I had been using oils or something. And it was just a freedom that started coming in my work, and this love of New York, big city, and I was feeling that there in my little studio, and it was great fun for me. You know, I want the viewer of any of my work to feel the life and energy that I'm feeling. And I hope my work does that. And my work, when I'm working on it, it is spontaneous. And I don't really know from one painting to the next what I'm going to produce. Even when I'm working on a piece, I don't envision it ahead of time. And there are often surprises to me. And I realize my gift to the viewer is look for surprises in my work. Look long enough until you see something that you didn't see in the beginning or that kind of thing.
With those revelations, you've also explored many exciting ways to naturally mix the media and techniques that you use. Can you tell us about your creative journey and what you discovered over the course of your training and your practice?
I guess my creative career started with me doing pottery. I had had an interest in it from when I was really small. And one day when I was actually crossing Osborne and River Avenue, I met a guy walking across the street, and he turned out he was a potter. And he said, "Oh, you should come to my studio," which I did. And I immediately, I just felt like this is it. This is it. And started working in that studio. And from there, I went to the University of Manitoba and did my fine arts degree because I wanted to be a potter. I wanted to work with clay. I think I even realized then how important just doing something with my hands was really important. So that was kind of the first material to work with. And then I moved later. I did a lot of printmaking. I spent a number of years working in handmade paper. As all along, sort of throughout this little journey, I'm drawing and doing some painting. Although painting in the early days was not my thing. The mediums that I could put my hands in directly, I think, were more important. But then once I was back in Winnipeg in the 90s, and I was doing more just drawing and painting, what I had been learning through paper making and clay work was my love of texture and building layers. And I think all of that kind of plays into what I do now.
And with the paper making, the texture building, and the layers, you developed unique techniques. And what are some of the themes and subjects that you like to work with?
Well, I'm influenced by my environment a lot. And I realized that when I moved into that studio in Winnipeg and I moved from it to another, to another, to another, I had different views of downtown buildings. I love architecture and I love the old buildings and all the details in them. And that was causing me, bringing forth my desire to draw and paint these buildings. And cityscapes are important. I'm living out in the country in Manitoba now, and I realize how my love of the Canadian prairies means a lot to me. And so I'm as happy drawing just a simple landscape that represents these prairies as I am sitting in a big city.
Well, you certainly bring together a lot of natural elements like color and line and texture in your compositions.
I started going to Mexico 6-7 years ago now, and a little bit maybe before I started going there, my colors were brightening up. But since going to Mexico, my colors have changed a lot in my painting, and they're much brighter. And I love drawing, and I love line, whether I'm using paint or I'm actually just doing a drawing, I love, you know, working into something with line. And the printmaking part of me, even if it's a painting, I love it when I can add and subtract. I can print onto my painting using another piece of paper with paint on it. It's an add and subtract. It's a play of layers in the work. I collage into these things, whether it's paper, my paint on canvas. There's a play of materials. I make them up, you know, most of the time. I had this griddle, an electric griddle that I plugged in one day and I put my paper on it. And then I took a chunk of wax. I had always been interested in encaustic, but I've never done encaustic. So this was my take on how to get wax to melt. I just took my wax and I started melting it onto the paper that got hot from the griddle. And so the wax started to melt, and I was using it like a huge crayon and moving it around the paper so the wax would melt into the paper just in the areas that I wanted it to. And so some areas were wax, some weren't, and then I could draw in with graphite and charcoal or crayons, and the graphite would melt. And I love how all those things just sort of play with each other. And then they cause me to respond, because I never know what's going to happen when I do these things. I'm always experimenting and just trying to play, I think, with new things. And if I find new materials, I go like, oh, what can I do with those? I'm starting to do sculpture more. And I did some welding last year, which I'm hoping to do a lot more of. So that's just sort of another material, another medium that'll be kind of fun to explore with.
Are there any other artists or music that is important in your process?
When I go into my studio, I love the quietness of it, but I also realize often that I do want music. And depending on what I'm working on, I will have loud, jazzy music or rock and roll. Doing a large abstract painting, I love The Traveling Wilburys is one of my favorite CDs. Roy Orbison, Elton John. I was married to a jazz musician for many years, and so I've listened to a lot of jazz, but I wouldn't say it's my favorite music, but I realized that it's a big part of me, and I learned a lot from it, and the whole concept of improvising and improvising in my work. And the specialness that these musicians have in being able to listen to each other and never knowing ahead of time what was going to be coming necessarily, but listening and responding. I feel that's what I do most of the time with my work. I'm intuitively listening, quietly listening, and then responding. So because I've been living in Mexico trying to learn Spanish, a couple of years ago I became aware of a woman from the Canary Islands originally. Her name is Rosanna, and she's a singer. I probably have all of her CDs. And last year, that's all I listened to. So she's kind of a mixture of jazzy, rock, and very energetic, and I love her. And so that's big influence for me. She helps me to stay loose and happy, and I'm listening to Spanish while I'm, you know, working. It's fun.
Do any of your titles come from your experimentation with Spanish? Do you have something coming up that might reflect that influence?
Well, I have a show in Killarney, Manitoba in September that's called Gallos y Pollos, and that literally just means roosters and chickens. And it's going to be a solo show of all my chicken paintings, which in the last few years people have come to know about. And I've actually rarely shown them, so my inventory of chickens and roosters keeps growing. And so this will be my first opportunity to actually have a show of most of them. So that's at the Killarney Arts Center in September, and that'll be fun.
Is there a certain significance to these animals in the Mexican culture that have inspired the title or inspired some of the works?
Well, I've been drawing chickens for years. I just find them kind of an interesting shape to draw, I think. And going to Mexico, certainly there are lots of chickens and roosters all around, and you hear the roosters crowing even in the cities. So, and I've come to love the Spanish language, and a lot of my paintings now are taking on Spanish titles because of that. And if I've done the paintings down there, I feel that they deserve a Spanish title. So a lot of the chickens that'll be in this show are ones that I did in Mexico. I'll probably have a subtitle called Chickens and Roosters.
Sounds exciting. And your father was an acclaimed artist and teacher, and you've also taught art a great deal. Where have you taught, and what has been most rewarding about teaching?
I love sharing. When I have taught, I haven't taught on any regular basis, but pretty much everything I've done, I've taught workshops. Years ago, I taught pottery. I taught papermaking workshops for a number of years. I developed a video, actually, on how to do papermaking. A few years ago, I had this concept kind of pop into my head, which is a workshop now that I continually offer called Kick-Ass Energy Art. And it's just about how to get people in touch with their own intuitive energy and how to just be loose and enjoy new things in their life at the same time as doing a bit of painting and drawing. And it's been the most rewarding, teaching this kick-ass energy art, because it really has helped change people's lives. And that, to me, is very exciting. I haven't been teaching it a lot, but 2 or 3 to 4 times a year, maybe now, I offer a workshop in that.
Are there any other events you're working on that you'd like to share with our audience?
Besides the show that's coming up in September, I'm going to be part of a group show. I'm a member of a group of women artists all around the Brandon area called Drawn Together. And we are reading Prairie Women Writers. And we are going to each choose an author and then do works, sort of our own interpretation of the book that we read, and put together a group show that we hope will maybe travel around Manitoba. That'll be something in the next year, maybe, or 2 years.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually challenging myself enough to do it and then see how the whole group responds to it.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for being on our show and sharing your story and insight with our audience. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish you continued success.
Oh, thank you so very much. And it's lovely to talk with you.
Thank you. That was contemporary artist Catherine Bruce speaking with us from Homefield, Manitoba. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and we thank you for listening to Art World Innovators here on UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. Join us again next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. for more on today's innovators in the art world.